John chapter 16. Let's look what the Bible says here. Here's the title of the message tonight. Conviction. Conviction. One word title, conviction, all right? Look what the Bible says, John chapter 16, verse number 1. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Verse 3, "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" Verse 6, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless," notice what Jesus says in verse number 7 on down, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove." That word reprove means to convict. "He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because they go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Conviction. All right, let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening. Lord, I pray that you bless this message. Lord, it's been prepared. Lord, it's been prayed over. Lord, it's been studied out. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we come now to the delivery of this message, Lord, from you, Lord, it's not just a man speaking to people. Lord, it's God speaking to Christians. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help me. Lord, I pray I'm a little bit nervous tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just calm everything down. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me to these folks tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. I got one purpose tonight, a message, very simple purpose. Purpose of the message tonight is I want to change your viewpoint on the subject of conviction. All right, conviction is the C letter, the dreaded C word for the Christian. All right, we don't like the word conviction a whole lot. All right, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? Let me go ahead and say this. I am preaching to Christians tonight. The Holy Spirit of God does convict unsaved people. By the way, if you are here unsaved tonight, under the sound of my voice and under the sound of Brother Kemp's voice, if you're here unsaved, you need to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and I get it taken care of, all right? But this is a preaching conference. We're going to focus in tonight on God's conviction of Christians, all right? But conviction, the dreaded C word for the Christian, the majority of Christians, listen very carefully as I introduce the message, and then I'll get to the points here in just a minute. But the majority of Christians have an imaginary wall built up when conviction comes. That conviction hits that wall, and that's about all the further that it goes. It doesn't sink into where it needs to because there's a wall built up in the hearts of each Christian. In the average church, listen very carefully, in the average church, Christians sitting in the pews respond in an unbiblical way to conviction when conviction comes and knocks on the door of their heart. Let me give you some examples of how average Christian, I'm not talking about the right way, I'm talking about the wrong response, an unbiblical response. Let me give you some examples real quick. A preacher preaches, conviction comes. So you guys have felt it, you know what I'm talking about, all right? Conviction comes. Instead of getting right with God, Christians often get mad at the preacher and entertain thoughts of leaving the church because the preacher is constantly stepping on their toes, all right? You with me? Listen, folks, we deal with it. Every single pastor deals with it, all right? Oftentimes, another example, oftentimes conviction comes. Instead of getting right, people will deny the fact that they are involved in the sin that caused the conviction to come, and they will go on living the way that they were living before the conviction ever came, all right? Other times, conviction comes. Instead of getting right, folks will rationalize and explain away their sin and continue to live as they please. They'll use phrases like, "Well, this is the way that I've always done things, so it must be right." No, by the way, folks, just because you've always done it doesn't mean it's always right, all right? The only way, so you got to measure it against the Word of God. If the Word of God says it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong, all right? Often, other times, conviction comes, and instead of getting right, people will, listen very carefully, people will well up with pride. They then get offended, and they blow their lid because some preacher had the audacity to question their spirituality. Are you with me? Listen, folks, the truth is, in every single one of those cases, there was an unbiblical response to conviction. An unbiblical response. Now, before we begin, I want to define the word conviction from the passage here of Scripture, John chapter 16. Look back at your Bible. The word conviction is actually not found in the Scripture, but conviction is found in the Scripture. If I can say it that way, the word conviction is not found, but conviction is found in the Scripture, all right? The Bible uses the word reprove. Look at John chapter 16, verse 8. It says this, "And when he is come, he will," here's the word, "reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." The word reprove there comes from, and I'm going to butcher this because I'm from Kentucky, all right? The word reprove comes from the Greek word elegcho, E-L-E-G-C-H-O, elegcho. That's about the best I can do, all right? That word, though, means this. It means to tell of a fault and to admonish. To tell of a fault and to admonish. It's two parts. To tell, to show error, and then to admonish. Listen very carefully. Here's what the conviction is in relevance to our text this evening. Conviction is when God shows us our error and leads us to an acceptance of and an implementing of the truth in our lives. Listen very carefully. Let me give it to you again. Conviction is when God shows us our error and then leads us to an acceptance of and an implementing of the truth in our life. When conviction from God comes tonight, when it comes tomorrow night, when it comes on Tuesday and on Wednesday, God is trying to do a couple things in your life. We're going to get into this a little bit more in depth here in just a minute. But He's basically coming to show you and show me error in our life and to lead us to the truth in our life. That's what He's trying to do. Now let's allow the Word of God to change our... By the way, I'm not trying to change your opinion. I can't change your opinion. Let's allow the Word of God to tell us what our view of conviction is supposed to be. Everybody with me so far, all right? I'm going to give you four simple statements quickly. Four simple statements, all right? Defining what conviction is, where it comes from, why it comes, and all everything else, all right? Number one, here it is. Statement number one. Conviction comes from God. Conviction comes from God. Look at John chapter 16, verse number 7. By the way, what color are these words in your scripture? John chapter 16, 7. What color? By the way, who's talking here? Jesus. Look what He says here. John chapter 16, verse number 7. Notice what He says. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I," watch what He says here, watch this. "But if I, Jesus, will," "but if I depart, I, Jesus, will send Him," who's Him? The Holy Spirit of God, "unto you." So Jesus says, hey, you know what? If I depart, I am going to send, I, God, Jesus, am going to send the Holy Spirit of God down to you, all right? By the way, folks, just before Jesus went away, He did send the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 20, verse number 22, "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost." So as He is getting ready to head back up to heaven, He then gives the Holy Spirit of God. And from that time on, every single time somebody gets saved and puts their faith and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of our heart. And so the truth of the matter is, you know what? God here, Jesus, He is the one who sends the Holy Spirit. All right, follow me. After the Holy Spirit of God moves in then, all right, we get saved. You guys are saved, and I'm glad I'm saved. Listen, by the way, folks, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I ain't on my way to hell when I die. I'm glad I get to go to heaven when I die, all right? I'm glad I'm saved. But listen, folks, after we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of our hearts, all right? When He moves in then, is He just dormant? No, he's got certain responsibilities that He then begins to perform in our lives. Let's see what one of the main responsibilities that Jesus lists here in our text passage. What does He say then? Look at verse number 8, all right? John 16, 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." So God's the one that sends this, right? But look what He says, verse number 8. Notice what He does. "And when He," the Holy Spirit, "is come, He will reprove." That word is to convict or to tell of a fault and admonish. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So Jesus leaves the earth here. He then gives us the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God upon salvation indwells our hearts, and He then begins to convict our hearts. So the truth is, let me ask you a question. Who does conviction come from then? It comes from God. Listen, folks, Brother Jerry, what are you trying to get at? Listen very carefully. Stop blaming your preacher. Stop getting mad at your preacher when conviction comes. Why? Because conviction doesn't come from the preacher. All conviction comes from God. I've had it happen. He's had it happen. Brother Kemp's had it happen. All the other preachers have had it. Listen, folks, we preach a message on sin, and people get mad at the preacher. Listen, folks, all we're doing is doing our job. By the way, you know what? Brother Kemp's going to stand up here in a few minutes and he's going to preach the Bible. And you know what's going to happen inside of my heart? God's going to convict me about things. Listen, folks, the truth is all we do is do our job. The preacher does. So stop getting mad at the preacher when conviction comes to your life, because the truth is he's not the one that's convicting you. God is. All right? By the way, let me get on this one here for just a second if I can. All right? And Brother Kemp, I'm going to steal 5 seconds here. All right? By the way, stop getting mad at spiritual Christians. Hang on to me here, folks. Listen very carefully. Here's what happens. Carnal Christians walk into a church house. God uses a spiritual, conforming to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, servant, faithful, dedicated, devoted Christian. And their presence alone, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to do anything. Their presence alone, God uses to bring conviction to a carnal Christian. And so they make statements like this: well, they're just a goody two-shoes. No, you're just a baddie two-shoe. Well, I'm sorry, That was a Kentucky joke, sorry. That was horrible. Oh, I'm sorry, you're just sinful. You know what I mean? Well, whatever you want to say. Listen, folks, the truth is, you know what? Stop getting mad at the preacher. Stop getting mad at spiritual Christian. They're not the one convicting you. God is. God's trying to change something, not the preacher. God's trying to change something, not that spiritual Christian. All they're doing is trying to serve God. So the truth is, you know what? Once we understand that conviction comes from God, listen, folks, the truth is, we'll have a right attitude when the preaching comes. We'll have a right attitude when we walk in those doors and come into church here, because the truth is we understand that all conviction comes from God. Number two, let me give you the second thing. By the way, this isn't in the message, but by the way, if you can come into church and you feel no conviction, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Listen, folks, if you can come into church and feel no conviction, you're in a dangerous place. Because the truth is, God, the one of the main things that the Holy Spirit of God does when he moves into our heart upon salvation is to begin convicting us. 100% of the time, the Holy Spirit of God convicts me when I sin. By the way, folks, thank God for the conviction, because it lets you know you're saved. Amen. By the way, listen, folks, if you feel no conviction, you know what you need to do? You have either done one of two things. First of all, you're either not saved, or the Holy Spirit has come and he's convicted and convicted and convicted and convicted and convicted, and you've rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected, and he stopped convicting. Either way, you either need to get saved or you need to get up here to this altar and get right with him, because the truth is conviction comes from God. Number two, let me give you the second thing quickly. I'm going to take a drink of water, right? Look, verse number seven, all right? Number two, listen to this. Conviction. Number one, conviction comes from God. Number two, conviction is good for me. Number one, conviction comes from God. Number two, conviction is good for me. Look at John chapter 16, verse number 7. It says this: nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is, what's the next word? Expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus says here that it is expedient for you that he go away. The word expedient there means profitable. It means beneficial. Jesus tells the disciples here, it is expedient for them, the disciples, it is profitable for them, it is beneficial for them that he go away. Why? Because when he goes away, he's going to send the Holy Spirit of God to them. By the way, what was one of the things the Holy Spirit of God does? Convicts us, all right? Listen, folks, the truth is, you know what God's teaching us here? God's teaching us that when conviction comes to our life, it is a good thing. Stop despising the conviction when it comes. It's a good thing. It's coming for a purpose. We're going to look at that here in just a few minutes. Listen, folks, the truth is, you know what? When Jesus tells the disciples here, it's expedient, profitable, beneficial for you that I go away. When I go away, the Holy Spirit's coming. When he comes, he's going to do his main work of convicting and teaching, all right? So the Word of God says it's a beneficial thing. It's a productive thing. It's an improving thing. It's a blessed thing. The preacher preaching on sin and you getting convicted is a good thing, church. The spiritual brother or sister in Christ that the Holy Spirit uses to challenge you to be a better Christian is a good thing, church. So the truth is, all conviction comes from God. Number two, all conviction is good for me. Number three, quickly. Number three, all conviction comes for a specific purpose. All conviction comes for a specific purpose. Look back at our text passage, John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Salvation comes for a very specific purpose. I'm sorry, conviction comes for a very specific purpose. We stated that purpose earlier in the definition. Remember the definition. Conviction is when God shows us our error and leads us to an understanding and implementing of the truth in our life. Now, remember that as we read down through these next three verses, all right? What does the Holy Spirit of God convict us of? Verse number 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. What is that talking about? Error. Sin is error. When I sin, I err. James chapter 1, verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brother. I mean, listen, folks, that's what sin is. It's an error. I have transgressed. I have sinned. I have done wrong. I have committed an error, all right, of sin because they believe not on me. By the way, folks, when the Holy Spirit of God convicts me of sin, that is a what? According to point number 2, that is a good thing, all right? It's a good thing when he convicts me of sin, all right? That sin is hindering my work for Christ. It's hindering my prayers from being answered. If I regard iniquity, Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's that sin is hindering my prayers from being answered. That sin is hindering my effectiveness from being the witness that I ought to be. So it's a good thing when conviction of sin comes. Verse number 10, look what it says. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Now that's interesting. What does that mean? Listen very carefully, folks. For 3.5 years, think about this. John chapter 16, Jesus is coming down to the end of his earthly ministry. A few days, he's going to the cross. For 3.5 years, the Lord Jesus Christ had been with those disciples. Listen very carefully, folks. For 3.5 years, you know what those disciples had seen? They had seen personal contact. They had seen personally, day after day after day, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ right in front of their very eyes. But notice the end of the verse there. Look what it says. The end of the verse, it says, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. The truth is, you know what? Jesus is leaving. He's on his way out of here. He's going back up to heaven to start preparing mansions and put the blood on the mercy seat and all of that stuff. Listen, folks, he's out of here. So what he's going to do is this. He's going to send the Holy Spirit of God to not only convict us of sin, but to also convict us of righteousness. Listen very carefully, folks. The truth is, I don't know about you, but in my own life, speaking from example, when the Holy Spirit of God comes and convicts me, he not only convicts me of my sin. Listen very carefully. Don't miss what I'm going to say right here. He not only convicts me of my sin, he also reminds me of how far away I am from the righteousness of Almighty God. He does not just show me my sin and say, hey, buddy, you're wrong here. He says, hey, buddy, you're wrong here, and here's where you need to be. Did you hear that? He says, hey, you're not only just wrong here. This is where you're wrong, but this is where, way over here, that's where you need to be. That's where you need to be shooting for. So he convicts me of sin, and he convicts me of righteousness. Number 3 then, look at the last thing, verse number 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Okay, let's take a step back. Remember the definition of conviction. Conviction is when God shows us our error and leads us to an acceptance of and implementing of the truth in our lives. He convicts us of sin, our error. He shows us how far away from the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ we are. Finally, and again, I don't know about you guys, but in my own life, I know this is true. And the Holy Spirit of God convicts me of my sin. He not only convicts me of my sin, he shows me how far away from the righteousness of God I am. He also reminds me of a coming judgment day. Because you know what's going to happen at that coming judgment day? I am going to have to stand and give account for how I live my Christian life for God. And so the truth is, he comes and he says, hey buddy, here's where you're wrong. Here's where you need to be. And by the way, here's why you need to be there. Because you know what the truth is? One of these days, you're going to give account for every single minute that you lived on this earth. And so he convicts me of that judgment day that's coming. By the way, folks, you know what that motivates me to do? That motivates me to be the Christian that I ought to be. That's what it does, all right? So the truth is, you know what, when conviction comes, it comes, it's a good thing. First of all, it comes from God. It's a good thing, and it comes for a specific purpose. Now listen very carefully. Let me give you a simple statement here, all right? Conviction comes for a specific purpose. Let's bundle all of these last three verses together into one specific main purpose. The specific purpose of conviction is this: to help produce in the Christian Christ-likeness. That's all he's doing. All the Holy Spirit of God is trying to do is catch you in your sin, show you your sin, show you where you need to be, remind you of the judgment day. So listen, folks, we walk and live as Christ would live. That's what he's doing. And so the truth of the matter is the specific purpose. When that conviction comes, all right? Some of you are being convicted right now about your attitude towards conviction, all right? When that conviction comes, let that sink in, all right? When that conviction comes, folks, remember, God is just, the Holy Spirit of God is simply trying to get me to take a step closer to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and another step closer to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, are we ever going to get there? Absolutely not. But you know what? I would rather be there a lot closer tomorrow than I am today, and the next day a lot closer that day than I am right now, and so on and so every single day for the rest of my life. And so the truth of the matter is, you know what? Conviction comes from God. It's a good thing. It comes for a specific purpose. Number four, let me give you the last thing tonight. Number four, failing to submit to the conviction of God will cost me dearly. Failing to submit to the conviction of God will cost me dearly. I'm going to have you turn to two places tonight in closing. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 and Mark chapter 14. Acts chapter 24, Mark 14. Flip to both of those places. Everybody okay tonight? Are you still good? All right. Number one, conviction comes from God. Number two, conviction is good for me. Number three, conviction comes for a very specific purpose. Number four, failing to submit to the conviction of God will cost me dearly. Now, at the beginning, I said that I was just talking to Christians. Let me key in here on the unsaved people for just a second. Acts chapter 24, failing to submit to the conviction of God will cost me dearly. All right? First of all, Acts chapter 24 deals with the conviction of an unsaved man named Felix. Okay, Acts chapter 24, look at verse 23. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And what Paul did, he preached the gospel. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. That's interesting, isn't it? Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix, what happened? Felix trembled. What do you call that, folks? Conviction. Yeah, go back to that day that you got saved. Remember when that preacher was preaching on hell and that invitation song was going and you were holding on to that pew. Remember what your hands were doing when you let go? They were for me. You might be a little bit different than me, but my hands were trembling, folks. By the way, when I walked down that aisle, you know what? I was bawling my stinking eyes out. Listen, folks, conviction had come. Here, Felix trembles. Conviction comes. But does Felix yield to this conviction? And answered, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a, here it is, convenient season, I will call for thee. Listen, folks, those of you that have read the Bible, does Felix ever get saved to our knowledge in the Scripture? Does he ever get saved? No, he doesn't. All right, hang on to that. Think about that. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. I'm going to read these two passages, and I'm going to give you one statement. We're going to close, all right? Mark chapter 14. This is the conviction, not of an unsaved man. This is the conviction of a saved man who had sinned against Almighty God. This man's name is Peter. Peter. Remember Peter's sin? Peter had denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times before the cock crowed twice. Peter has sinned. The Holy Spirit of God then comes and convicts Peter. Notice what happens here in Mark chapter 14, verse number 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, Mark 14, 67 now. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understandest I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Verse 69, the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by him, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after they stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear. This is Peter we're talking about, the disciple, one of the inner three. Listen, this is Peter here. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. Sounds like a pretty bad sin right there, folks, denying the Lord, he didn't just deny the Lord Jesus, he denied ever knew in the Lord Jesus. Verse number 72, notice what it says. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter, notice what happens here, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept. Listen, folks, the truth is, Peter sinned. I'll give him that. Awful sin, denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Conviction of sin came to his heart. Thank God Peter broke. Thank God Peter broke. By the way, folks, listen very carefully. About a month and a half later, you know where Peter's at? He's in Jerusalem. You know what he's doing in Jerusalem there? Day of Pentecost. You know what Peter's doing? He's preaching on the day of Pentecost. You know the results that happen on the day of Pentecost? Over 3,000 people saved, baptized, added to the church. Listen, folks, I can guarantee you this. If Mark chapter 14 does not happen and Peter does not break when that conviction comes, listen, folks, there's no Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Doesn't happen. Acts chapter 2 doesn't happen without Mark chapter 14, folks. Let me give you a statement. And folks, this is so important. All right, number four, failing to submit to the conviction of God will cost me dearly. Listen very carefully to this statement. Let it sink in. Here is the danger of you and I, first of all, as unsaved people. If you're here and you're lost this evening, if you're lost, listen very carefully to this statement. If you're saved, listen to this statement. Listen very carefully. Here's the danger of not yielding to conviction. Failing to yield to the conviction, to the convicting of the Holy Spirit will cause the unsaved person to miss heaven, and it'll cause the Christian to miss out on the joy, blessing, and peace that comes from conforming to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I mean, listen, you can't get any more simple. Failing to submit, to yield, to break when the conviction comes. Failing to give into it and say, God, you're right. I'm sorry. I confess it and get right. Failing to do that will cause the unsaved person to miss heaven. It'll cause the Christian to miss out on the joy, the blessing, and the peace that comes from conforming to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Felix rejected the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And for all we know, Felix died and he went to a devil's hell. If you're here and you're lost this evening, you know what? The Holy Spirit of God is going to come. He's going to convict you tonight. You know what you need to do tonight? You need to yield to that conviction. Because you know what? If you reject and reject and reject, one of these days you're going to reject one time too many. And you're going to end up right in a devil's hell. And by the way, Christian, you know what? If the Holy Spirit comes, and by the way, not if, He's going to come over the next few nights here at this revival meeting. And He's going to convict you about something. And listen, folks, when you fail to submit to that conviction, you know what? You're basically saying, God, you know what? I don't want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I would rather live in my sin than take steps closer and closer and closer to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and be what you want me to be, God. Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but I kind of would like to have some of that joy and the peace and the blessing that comes from just yielding and yielding and yielding, all right? Conviction. What is conviction, Brother Gerald? All conviction comes from God. All conviction is for my good. All conviction comes for a very specific purpose. Failing to submit to the conviction of God will cost me dearly. All right? Lord, we come to you this evening. Lord, thank you for what we've heard. Lord, I do pray. Lord, Brother Kemp's going to get up here in just a few minutes. Lord, he's going to preach. Lord, these other preachers, the next few nights, Lord, they're going to stand up. They're going to preach. Lord, conviction is going to come. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as Christians to submit to that conviction. Lord, to yield. Lord, to give in, to throw our hands up and throw up the white surrender flag and just say, God, I'm sorry. You're right, I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. To give in, Lord, to yield to it. Lord, help that one, Lord, that two, those few, Lord, tonight that may be unsaved. Lord, the truth is the conviction is going to come. The Holy Spirit right now is convicting them of their need of a Savior. Lord, I pray that they'd throw up their white hand, Lord, the white flag of surrender tonight. Lord, just give in. Lord, come up here and get saved. Lord, we certainly thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.